here bringing you episode 54. Yeah, 54 of the top 10 rated podcasts for authors. Write your best book. All right, before we get into this week's discussion, are you following us on social media? Just curious. Have you signed up for our weekly writing advice newsletter? Oh, and how about our YouTube channel? If not, that's totally fine. You can still join, follow, and watch anytime. On social, you can follow us using the handle @writeyourbestbook and get access to daily tips, tricks, and advice on writing. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and even Pinterest. Our weekly newsletter is free and easy to subscribe to by visiting our website at writeyourbestbook.com. One of those fun little pop-ups will appear, and if you enter your name and email address, not only will you instantly be signed up, you will get immediate free access to our most popular free resource yet, the Author Planner. The Author Planner has a list of all things that an author needs to do to publish and market their book, even when they first start writing it, in order of importance and when in the process they need to be done. Also, it includes an editable calendar, weekly and monthly, I believe, so you can mark your schedule for writing times and tasks that need to be done. And finally, check out our new YouTube channel. It's small, but growing quickly, especially since we've just jumped right in with their newest feature, Shorts. We now have three channels. One is dedicated to the video version of some of our best podcast interviews with top writing experts. One is for 10-minute video lessons on all things writing. And now we have, as mentioned, our Shorts channel, which has 30-second or less video clips set to music that comes from our hugely popular TikTok channel. So be a dear and check out our YouTube channel, subscribe, and leave comments if anything resonates or if you have any suggestions or topic ideas. All right, with that out of the way, let's talk about this week's topic, shall we? Series novels are super popular among writers and readers who enjoy a continuing story arc that spans more than just one book. Personally, I love a good saga that encompasses three or more big old books. And the absolute best author in my favorite genre who does this? Greg Ilis, with his Pen Cage series, including Natchez Burning, Mississippi Blood, all the rest. And fantasy readers also really love a good series like Song of Fire and Ice, Wheel of Time, Court of Thorns and whatever it is, and so many others. So it's no wonder that writers want to often turn a story that might begin as a one-off into a series. A series means more books, which means more readers and more book sales. But often, the idea of writing a series comes easier to us than the act of writing does. We basically have to create two stories at the same time, the plot for the individual books and the overarching plot that spans the series. And even when we might have a general idea about what we want to happen from book one to book 10, it can be overwhelming making sure we're consistent with characters and timelines and plot across the entire series. So, this week, we're going to talk about how to develop a consistent story arc across a series of novels. And with me to have this discussion is prolific, best-selling romance author, Shelley Shepherd Gray. Originally from Texas, Shelley now lives in Southern Ohio, where she resides with her husband and two kids and writes books about people who happen to be Amish for a living. Shelley is a New York Times and USA Today best-selling author, and her most recent book, A Perfect Amish Romance, was released just this week worldwide. Since so many of her books are series books, she's the perfect author to discuss this topic with us. So, without further fanfare, let's just dive right into my chat with Shelley Shepherd Gray.
Okay, guys, welcome back to Write Your Best Book, the top 10 podcast for authors on the craft of writing. And today, as I mentioned before, we have author Shelley Shepherd Gray in the studio, and I'm going to be talking to her about developing a consistent story arc in series novels. So first off, let's just get it out of the way. Welcome, Shelley, to the show, and thank you so much for agreeing to be with me today.
Oh, thank you so much, Christina. I've been looking forward to this. Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Sure. Well, let's get started with you telling my listeners a bit more about you and your writing journey and how your lovely new book that just came out on January 19th.
Oh, I'd be happy to. So the short version of my writing journey is that I used to be a sixth grade teacher, and I have always been a lifelong reader. Mm-hmm. And so what I was doing towards the end of my teaching career is I started trying to write a book during my lunch break. And I enjoyed it. And it was my hobby, like some take up knitting. I took up writing romances. I'm shy by nature. I never thought anyone would ever see it. And of course, no one's ever saw that first book. But no, I
did probably it. Ever will. You're like me.
You know, and what happened was we were in Cincinnati, and my husband was encouraging me to pursue this writing journey. I went to a local RWA meeting, and I decided to give it a try. What eventually happened is I sold my third manuscript to a small publisher without an agent. After I sold my second book, I was able to get an agent. Eventually, I got into Harlequin. I was having a baby about one book a year. And my agent encouraged me to write inspirational romance novels. This was back in the early 2000s, and they were just becoming popular. And she knew that my faith was important to me. So anyway, I am a big believer in listening to advice. So I said I'd give it a try. I wrote a historical Western, which received over 20 rejections, but it got somebody from HarperCollins interested in my writing. And she thought, since I was in Ohio, maybe I could write about the Amish. And I was a little reluctant, just because the only Amish I'd ever met were the people I was buying cinnamon rolls from. Mm-hmm. But I went ahead and gave it a try. And I guess you could say my career took off. I said yes at the right time and pushed myself. And I got a three-book contract rather quickly, and then wrote, gosh, I think over 50 Amish novels for HarperCollins. And this year in 2020, mm-hmm. celebrated my 100th book being published. So I guess that's my writing journey.
That is a journey.
Yeah. It's one of those things where I didn't go to school to learn how to be a writer. I learned through trial and error and a real persistence of, I want to do this.
I'm so glad that you just said that at the end, because we have a really huge following on TikTok, and I do lives once a week, and I was doing it this week, and that theme came up with there's a lot of young people on TikTok. So they all, these writers want to know I got to go to school for to be a writer, to be published. Do I need a master's? You don't need that. I mean, it does it help? Sure, it does. Sure, it benefits. But thank you for saying that, because I like to hear, and I even said the same thing. I said, there are plenty of successful, prolific authors that some didn't even go to college, maybe even. So,
right. No, I agree. For me, at least, it was practice and mm-hmm. dedication and yep. Maybe thick skin. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes I've met new authors, and they might get a couple of rejections, either from agents or publishers. Mm-hmm. Their feelings hurt. And I think that's not what happens to all of us.
Yeah.
But I think what I eventually learned was that everyone in publishing, from the author to the publicist to the editor to the readers, we all want to have the author publish a good book. And, you know, we want quality books for no matter what genre you are interested in reading. And so if you take that as people are saying this book isn't good enough, because right now it isn't good enough, mm-hmm. it doesn't, Shelley's not. It means that at this point in time, this novel needs a little bit of work. Mm-hmm. It kind of distance yourself from that. For me, it helped. So I guess I should say that this year, this week, I'm publishing, I guess it's my 101 novel, and it's a Perfect Amish romance, and it's by Amish History Gallery Books. And
for those of you on audio right now, she's holding up the most beautiful cover I think I've seen on a romance novel in a while. Really pretty.
Now, yeah, I hope if any of your listeners are interested, they at least, you know, go check out these beautiful
covers. We're going to definitely plug throughout the episode, so they'll have their opportunity, and we'll do links, and we'll do all the things. So.
Okay, great.
Okay, so now today, though, we are talking about, or this week's discussion is about developing a consistent story arc when writing a novel series. And I guess we should start first and make sure that everyone's on the same page. So why don't you, for those who may be new to writing or maybe unfamiliar with this, define story arcs, basically, you know, in a brief way, and exactly what qualifies as a series of novels.
I'll be happy to. Again, this might not be the most technical definition, but it's...
Well, with 100 books under your belt, I think you're qualified.
But for me, a story arc is a grouping of books, whether it's a trilogy, 4, 6, 8, you name it. Mm-hmm. And it all centers around an overlying theme and goal. And for my Amish novels, I usually come up with a central theme for a whole series of books. And then I always develop that first. Then for each novel that's going to be in that series, I try to come up with a specific variation of that theme. And that is what the novel focuses on. So for a reader who can pick up a series anywhere, they might just find it to be a good book around one theme. However, if a reader is interested in reading the whole series, by the time they finish the series of novels, they will have seen that theme played over and over, but in a variety of different ways through all the characters' points of view. I think it's very fun. It's kind of challenging sometimes, especially since I write inspirational novels. Maybe the overlying theme is a crisis of faith, or maybe it's letting the past go and venturing forward. If it's something with a suspense or a mystery element, again, it's getting to that point where the mystery is solved and the problems are over for the characters. So it's kind of fun to just develop all of this at the beginning. Some authors really don't like querying or writing synopsis. I can't say that I'm the best at it, but I really don't mind it. I love to plot the very beginning of these series and pitch them to my agent and editor, because it's just the possibilities are endless. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can do whatever you want. And that's exciting. By the time everything's all settled in and you're actually writing every day, yes, you do get to make it up because you're the fiction writer, but it's not quite as open-ended as it is at the beginning.
Well, that's good. That's very helpful. But I'm curious. You write Amish romance novels, as you said, and many of them are series books. Do you use an outline when you're plotting your series to keep the characters and the story arc straight? And if so, do you also recommend that new authors try this when they're tackling, not necessarily their first book, but if they're tackling a series for the first time?
I absolutely do. And one of the reasons I do it, I do make a whole series outline, is really because my editors have expected it. Mm-hmm. So I'm one of those authors that's great at following directions. If mm-hmm. if an editor says, Shelley, we need this from you in order to buy the series, then I'm on it. I'm gonna do what they want me to do. But really, as someone like me who I almost always write more than one book at a time, mm-hmm. I appreciate the notes, and I appreciate just remembering. Okay, this series is about this, and this theme or this general idea. Also, I think for me, it also helps with my character development, believe it or not. When I'm working on a central theme, if I love making my characters multifaceted, I usually rewrite a book maybe three times before I turn it in. And I love that second pass of just analyzing my points of view characters and making sure that either they have conflict with a theme, either they are working with this theme, that there's some interplay of it. I think it makes for me a stronger book.
I agree. That's why I didn't, when I first started, I was a pantser. That didn't take very long to figure out that was not going to work for me anyway. So yes, outlining could definitely help. And I would assume with a series, I've only written one trilogy, that it would help that too. So, all right. So one more question on this before we go to a break. Let's talk pacing. So without intending to, I wound up turning my first ever novel, like I just said, it was a suspense novel, into a trilogy. Still back when I was painting. And I remember struggling with keeping the pacing just right across all three books. So when writing a series of novels, how in the world can we maintain Goldilocks type pacing, is what I always tell my students. Not too fast, not too slow throughout the entire series. Is that possible?
You know, I think for me, yes, it is possible. Mm-hmm. And I think any writer, whether they're experienced like me or just starting out, that's a fine goal to set, is you would like to have good pacing in your novel. I think there's a variety of ways I utilize this or I work on this. One of them is I give myself permission to mess up. Mm-hmm. So if I am writing the novel, I'm a voracious reader. I read a whole lot of books. So I can tell as I am writing, okay, it's not working. Mm-hmm. I'm bored and I'm the author. So, I'll probably take a couple of steps back and be like, okay, what is missing here? And usually for me, it's, I need more conflict. I don't just need, you know, one external conflict or internal conflict between the characters. I need to add another layer of problems. You know, I have a good friend who's a mystery writer, and she said there's a joke in the mystery world that if your pacing is slow, you have another murder. You know, with a romance novel, you can't really kill off your characters.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, you can give them more tension, more problems. And also I have, I'm going to show, the readers or the people who might see this video. Mm-hmm. I always write, I said every series in the spiral notebook. So for every series, I've written, I have a big spiral notebook with all the characters, all the places, all the chapters and so forth for the entire series. But one thing I do for every novel is I mean, as you can just tell, I was a sixth grade teacher because it's so elementary, but I divide up my book into fourths. So, for example, if you're writing a 400-page book, halfway is 200, fourth of the way is 100. And I make sure I insert a new conflict every fourth of that book. And the conflicts need to be more intense, more important to your characters. So therefore, at three quarters of the novel, for in my books, again, I write romances, is I've got my characters in a real heap of trouble. I mean, I want my readers to start thinking, there is no way they're ever going to get together or survive the hurricane or whatever they're involved in. And also, you know, oh my gosh, they just found out, you know, she just found out his big secret that he's been carrying, and now she knows he's been lying to her. So I really heap them on, which that really helps the pacing, because it just propels the reader to read quickly. We got to find out what's going on. And yeah, it runs right into the dark moment, which again, is just old school romance writing, as you know, a lot of readers just love that. We just want it almost all to be gone and then give the satisfying ending.
That is a perfect explanation. Thank you so much for that. We need to take a quick break. Won't be long, just a few seconds. We need to hear from our sponsor, and we'll be right back and finish up our conversation. Are you looking for an author coach?
Wait, what? What's an author coach?
Great question. You see, author coaching is a relatively new field in the industry, but only by title. For years and years, experienced authors have been providing assistance and guidance to newer, less experienced authors and helping them learn all those pesky writing rules and guidelines, as well as how to write not just any book, but a great book. In fact, I was author coaching long before I even realized that's what I was doing. I began 10 years ago after the somewhat success of my first novel, and authors I knew began asking for help with their queries, finding agents, or even, frankly, writing and editing their books. So I started editing books for them and teaching them all I had learned through spending years, 3 years actually, of reading how-to books, listening to podcasts, taking writing courses, listening to the experts, and virtually every possible way of learning the craft. Before I knew it, I had a full-on side hustle as an author coach and book editor. But as you know, I was also working a full-time, exhausting, and demanding corporate career at the time. And in January 2020, though, I was able to quit that job and start working as an author coach and editor full-time. I do all this through Write Your Best Book. And in 2020 alone, trust me, we spent one day doing the math on this. We helped over 300 authors write their best book. And that does not include however many authors may have also received help through our social media channels, et cetera, this podcast. With social media, by the way, we're at over 100,000 followers combined. And I'd love to add you to the growing list of author coaching clients. If you need help with anything from the craft of writing a novel to publishing or branding or even marketing tips, please, please keep Write Your Best Book in mind. You can find out more about my business on our website at writeyourbestbook.com. And you can always reach out directly by emailing us at info@writeyourbestbook.com, where someone will respond within 24 hours. And if you are truly interested in learning how an author coach can help you up your game for writing, become a better writer than you thought possible, and even publish and sell your own books, I offer free 30-minute consultations to anyone who wants one. Simply head on over to the Contact Us page on our website. Again, that's writeyourbestbook.com, and fill out that short form that allows you to even pick your own day and time for the 30-minute consultation. Or you can just simply hit the link in the show notes and do the same thing. All right, let's get back to wrap up my conversation with Shelley Shepherd Gray. Okay, so we're back in the studio with Shelley, and we're going to wrap it up, but we've got a couple more good questions, I think. So first off, years ago when I was teaching myself, because I taught myself how to write a series, I remember learning about anchoring details. Okay. It was like this stood out to me when I was preparing for this interview. I remember the word anchoring. And for example, using recurring characters, setting elements, et cetera, to make the reader feel cozy and comfy and familiar with the series every time they open up the next book in the series. Do you agree with this? And if so, give us some examples from your latest book.
Yes, ma'am, I definitely do. And really that comes from being a reader before a writer. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have to tell you, I love to read a series. Mm-hmm. I love a prolific writer who writes fast. I mean, there's nothing for me than starting it, then finishing a book, and I go on Amazon or Google and or the website, and I'm like, what do you mean they've got, they're gonna not have another book out for a whole year? Like, come on, what are they doing? So
George R.R. Martin.
Yeah. So I just love, I love those familiar things. Mm-hmm. One thing I did for this series that's coming out this year, I have three books in this trilogy, and it's all set around a bookmobile in Berlin, Ohio. Berlin is an Amish community. And my central place is the bookmobile. And I have a matchmaking bookmobile librarian. She used to be an accountant, and now she's kind of semi-retired and going around Amish country and helping the Amish with all their problems by giving them out books and helping them find the books. And sometimes the books that they're wanting to read maybe isn't exactly what everyone in the Amish community would prefer them to be reading. Mm. Sometimes they're even secret books. But anyway, it's kind of fun. I started every book in the series with, it's always with my librarian, her point of view in the bookmobile. And I've you know, kind of given the readers a nice floor plan of it, so they have an idea of what it looks like. And by the third book, I mean, I've already turned in the third book to my editor, and you know, it's nice. It's like coming home to that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. The trick I will have to tell you though is you can't always depend on your readers either following you from book to book or starting on the first book in the series. That's and right. There's a trick. You need to make sure you introduce things well enough so a brand new reader to your series, even if they start on book two or book three, will not feel like they're left out of the fun. But also, you don't want to give so much that if a reader has stuck with you through a whole series, that they're just like, great, I need to skip this next five pages because I already know this. So it is a little bit of pacing issues like you've been talking about, and just making sure that you've hit that Goldilocks moment also, like you mentioned. So, but I think it's fun. I always tell people that writing a new series, I feel like it's the neighbors next door that move in. And I know, say they're Amish, I know that maybe the husband's name or the guy's name is Jack, but I don't know a lot about him. By the time I finish a series, and I've written 8 book series, so mm-hmm. by then I feel like I know everything about him. I know every dark secret. Mm-hmm. I've gone over to their house for dinner. It's just been mm-hmm. And when the editor's like, you know, Shelley, it's time to move on, I get really sad because I feel like they're moving away. So I love it when I hear from readers and they say the same thing. I didn't want the series to end. I couldn't wait to come return back to Berlin or return back to wherever I've been writing about.
Oh, that's great. I love that story. That's so nice. So I think the last thing that we should cover is, and I think it makes sense, the last thing be endings. So how should series writers approach their story arcs when it comes to deciding on the end for each book as well as the end for the entire series?
All right. Well, I usually have when I write the outline for the whole series arc, I have a place where I want everyone to eventually be. Mm-hmm. So, for example, with Sarah Ann, my bookmobile librarian, by the end of the third book, I want her to be as happy as all the people she's helped in the other novels. So I usually it's not uncommon for me to even write that scene at the very, very end of the series. Maybe I won't use it.
Right.
But it sure helps me as I'm writing book one or wherever I am in the series to remember, okay, I got to make sure this is where she gets to be. I had a series I thought I might use as example because it's so different. It was a series that was all set as a mystery.
There you go.
Yeah. All set around the Chicago World's Fair in 1893. So it has nothing to do with Amish. And it was more of mystery, of a lot of suspense, a lot of missing people in the World's Fair.
You got me. You got my attention.
But one thing I wanted to make sure when I wrote these, and it really will help with your question, is that, well, I wanted the end of the book to be, end of the last book to be the World Series of the World Fair is closing.
Okay.
And I wanted the readers to feel like, just like the guests did when they visited the fair all those years ago. They're walking away from the books just like they all walked away from the Chicago World's Fair, and it was a good experience. So I made sure that was my end goal. Now, every book was a mystery, and there was a lot of suspense, and there was murders and so forth. It was super fun to
write. That serial killer from the World's Fair in it?
Well, I use that as my inspiration, but I love
that story.
Compared to Devil in the White City, but it was very fun. So, you know, at the end of every book, of course, the mystery is solved and my hero and heroine are happy, but the World's Fair continues. One thing I love for an editor to do, and not every publisher is willing to do this, but I love I like to have a nice ending to my book, but at the very end of a novel, is the first chapter of the next book in a series.
I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, no, I write fast, so that's not a problem for me. Mm. Usually when I turn in my revisions on a book, I turn in the first chapter of the next book. That doesn't mean I've written anything further than that first chapter, but at least I have that. And then if they feel like it's appropriate, then they'll put it at the very end. So that does a lot of the trick for the readers as far as, okay, I've got a little glimpse into the next series, the next book in the series, without me saying having to put a bunch of hints at the end of the book, like, oh, just wait till you see what happens to Meg. I did one time write almost a cliffhanger, and I had a lot of cranky readers, and I promised myself I'd never do that again. So I'm one of those writers that writes for my readers.
Yeah.
And to be happy. And so I'm going to give them a cliffhanger because I don't want them unhappy. I want them to pick up another Shelley Shepherd Gray book.
Yes, you do. And I'm going to be picking up that series for sure. And speaking of, unfortunately, we do have to wrap it up. But before we go, why don't you tell us where and when and why and all the things to get a copy of your latest book, as well as where we can follow you on social or newsletter signups, anything you want us to know.
Oh, well, thank you so much. First of all, I've got a brand new website, and it's ShelleyShepherdGray.com. And so I'd be thrilled if anybody wanted to take a peek at it. And one of the things we worked real hard on is I have a great little book section. It doesn't have all 100 books, but it has a whole lot. They're all by series. Mm-hmm. And not just my Amish ones, my historical ones, my contemporary romances I've written. And there's also a printable book list. So that's always helpful. But it also has a newsletter sign up. I write about a newsletter once a month. I try to. If people aren't interested in that, they could see me on Facebook at Shelley on Shelley Shepherd Gray. I'm on Twitter. I think it's Shelley S. Gray. I'm on Instagram. So I guess I'm a lot of places. I really hope people will pick up a Perfect Amish Romance. It's the first book in the series, and it comes out on January 19th, and it's available wherever books are sold.
Yeah, we'll do, because by the time this episode airs, we'll be after, right after January 19th, the day or two after. So we'll have a link in the show notes. So you guys can just go now at this point. And if you want to, which you should, go pick up a copy of A Perfect Amish Romance. Go to the show notes. You'll see a link right there, as well as a link to Shelly's website. Okay, Shelly, thank you so much for doing this and for being here today and giving my, giving my listeners some really great information, because they're all authors and we love to hear from other authors. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thanks again for having me. It was my pleasure.
So welcome.
Okay, as I mentioned briefly during the interview with Shelly, my very first book wound up becoming the first in a trilogy. Not at all my original plan. But one day during a brainstorming session with my author mom, literally my mother, who often doubles as my sounding board, she suggested that I take my current overall plot and turn it into a series plot to broaden it into a trilogy. At first, I balked. I'd written a few books before, none of which were successful, but I had never once considered writing anything other than standalone books. But the idea continued to percolate in the back of my mind over the course of those next few days. And without realizing it or intending to, that's exactly what happened. What was originally the subplot of Like Father, Like Daughter, which is Libby Carter is the daughter of a notorious I-75 strangler who is rotting away in prison for murdering several women along the I-75 corridor. And I sat down at my computer, typed up a brief summary of that plot line, and figured out how to divide that longer version of her story into three separate books. And as many of you know, Like Father, Like Daughter was my first book to snag me an agent, a three-book publishing deal for the trilogy, and even won me a national book award. And book three, Family Ties, which wraps up the story of Libby and her serial killer father, actually outsold book one and two. My point is that perhaps you are not planning on writing a series at this time, but don't discount the idea. You never know when your characters may have different plans for the stories. And as authors, we all know that they write the stories more than we do, especially if we've taken the time to properly develop these characters. And now, if you ever do want to write a series, you have this episode to refer back to on how to properly develop a series plot and make it work. If you guys are enjoying this podcast series and you want to be sure not to miss any upcoming episodes, please hit that subscribe button. Then you'll get a notification when weekly episodes are live. And guess what? Just some of our future guests who have already committed that I can now confirm are Lisa Unger, Mary Kupica, and Ruth Ware. And if you don't mind, we'd love to hear from you. So leave us a rating and an honest review with feedback, ideas, topic suggestions, or frankly, anything your little heart wants to tell us about our podcast. All right, talk soon. And in the meantime, go write your best book.
This is what you've been waiting for. When it all open the